So Lord Jesus, we come to you again this morning and we ask that you teach us to pray. Amen. Well, we come this morning to a transition in the Lord's Prayer. We're transitioning from requests that begin with your name be hallowed or sanctified, honored, glorified, your kingdom come, your will be done. We're transitioning from the your, to the us. Give us our daily bread and lead, or forgive us our debts, lead us not into temptation, and so forth. So we're making that transition, but we need to understand it's important to get this is not a transition of subject matter. We're not leaving the focus on God at the beginning of the prayer and God's glory in order to focus on our needs. What we're doing is we're seeing how God is glorified in meeting our needs. How God's name is hallowed, honored in giving us our daily bread. How God's kingdom advances as sins are forgiven. How God's will is done as He's leading us not into temptation, but He's delivering us from evil. This is not a transition to a new and unrelated subject, as though we're moving from things that God really cares about, His glory, to things that are not very important to God, our daily needs. In fact, it is because God cares chiefly about His glory that He cares so much about our needs. Our daily neediness reveals our helplessness, our inadequacies. But as God meets those daily needs, He reveals His power, His provision, His sufficiency, His grace, all sufficient. Loving us and meeting our needs is precisely the way that God preserves His glory in us through our joy in Him and in the ways that He meets our needs. So as Jesus transitions this morning to our concrete daily needs in the Lord's Prayer, He's not leaving the focus on God's glory, and neither are we. He's showing us how we glorify God and seeking everything from Him in life. All of our needs. And by all of our needs, I mean all of them. The requests that we come to this morning in the Lord's Prayer and that we'll see in the next few weeks cover absolutely everything that we could possibly need in this life. All of our physical needs, all of our spiritual needs, all of our relational needs, absolutely everything that we could possibly need in this life is fully addressed in these petitions. Jesus leaves nothing out in telling us what to pray for. And so what we're going to do this morning is just consider the first of these our requests, namely, give us this day our daily bread. And I just want to take it in two parts. I want to think about the meaning of bread in this request, and then the importance or the implications for the fact that this is something that we pray daily. Right? Bread and daily. And I think if we can get those two things down, we'll have a better grasp on what Jesus is teaching us to pray about in this fourth petition. So let's just start with what Jesus means by bread. Going back in the history of interpretation of the Lord's Prayer in church history, some interpreters have understood Jesus' reference to bread in this petition in a spiritual sense. That's how the early church father Jerome understood it. And there's certainly some precedent in Scripture for understanding bread, not in the physical, but in the spiritual sense. There's plenty of times when Jesus uses physical bread to teach us spiritual truths, doesn't he? Remember the temptations. Jesus is in the wilderness Jesus says, man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceeds from the mouth of God. Jesus, when tempted to turn the stones into bread and skip out on his mission as the Messiah, says, you know what? If I may not be getting physical bread here, but I got the word of God, and that is spiritually satisfying and preserving. He does it there. And think of passages like John 6. Right after Jesus feeds the 5,000, this group comes to him and they're, quote unquote, seeking Jesus. But then Jesus says to them, don't labor for the food that perishes. He's talking about that bread that he just multiplied to the 5,000. Don't come for food that perishes, but for the food that endures to eternal life. So they're using bread in a spiritual sense. And of course, the Lord's Supper. Jesus gives us the wine and the bread. The bread teaches us spiritual truths about the gospel. So yeah, that's there in Scripture. But notwithstanding all of that, I don't think that's what Jesus is getting at here. The petition, give us this day our daily bread, is simply a request for physical nourishment and provision. He's going to come to spiritual things in the very next petition and in the following petition after that. And certainly there are implications as we see God providing for our physical needs. We grow spiritually and so forth. But what we're asking for here, the spiritual is not the primary thing. It's the physical. We're praying for nourishment, for God to provide for our physical, our material needs. We sometimes forget that Christianity dignifies the physical. It was the pagan philosophies that denigrated the material world. That they viewed the body as a prison. And ultimate salvation meant breaking away from the body, getting out of that prison, and really being free. So ultimate reality, the best existence, was a bodiless existence, was a disembodied, immaterial existence. We needed to get rid of the evil world and really get to the good spiritual parts. And that was the influence on an early heresy in the church called Gnosticism. They viewed the same thing, and they viewed salvation as getting out of the body, getting away from the material. Scripture doesn't have anything to do with that. Scripture emphasizes the dignity of the physical body. From the very fact that people took such great care in preserving the dead whenever they died, to the fact that, you know, Jesus became a human being, didn't he? If all physical stuff was just evil, why would he come and become a human? And a full human, not like appearing to be human. He had skin, fingernails, he had an accent. He had hair. He was a human being. If he stood here in our midst, we wouldn't pick him out from any other Middle Eastern man. I mean, he was hungry. He ate food. He drank. He fed people. He rose people or raised people from the dead. He himself rose from the dead bodily. And one day he's going to make not just a new heaven, but a new earth. That's what he teaches us to pray each day in the Lord's Prayer. For us to see the dignity of things like being hungry and thirsty and cold and in pain. To be aware of those needs and to see the dignity of those needs. And frankly, without physical provision, we're not going to live very long to be able to pray about the spiritual things. Eventually, we're going to die of hunger or thirst or something. So we have to have physical provision. When I was up at Seventh Reformed Church in Grand Rapids, we took our youth to a mission trip in the inner city in St. Louis, Missouri. And I'll never forget when the night we got there, the pastor of the host church, he got all of us together in a room. We got, sat down, and he kind of gave us some overview of what we were going to be doing and so forth. But then he started that whole thing off with an illustration. He said, everybody close your eyes. And then he began to paint a picture of a daily scene in his ministry. So now close your eyes. I want you to think about a young girl who wakes up. Mom's not there. She's gone to work. She goes into the kitchen. She's hungry. She opens up the pantry. There's a half-eaten box of mac and cheese and nothing else. She closes the pantry. She goes on to school. She comes home that afternoon. She's got the key. She goes in. Mom's not there. She's at her next job. She's hungry. She needs a snack. She comes in. She opens up the cupboard. There's a half-eaten box of mac and cheese and nothing else. She closes the cupboard. That's being saved for dinner. He describes the absence of the mom, the scenario of the empty cupboards and fridge. He describes the living conditions. He describes the neighborhood that she lives in, the very difficult, rough neighborhood. So he goes in, and we all got our eyes closed, and we're getting this image of this young girl in this apartment and her life every day. She's going to wake up and do that again the next morning. And then he asks us, what does she need? What does she need? And we're thinking, we're on a mission trip. Well, she needs the gospel, right? We got to preach the gospel to her. That's what she really, really needs. And that's right. That's our greatest need, is the gospel. But that's not the only thing she needs. Our need for Jesus in the gospel does not eliminate our need for food. Right? For clean water, for a coat in the wintertime, for locks on our doors, for medicine, for asthma. Lots and lots and lots of concrete needs that this little girl has that aren't being met. And that as a church and as a mission team, we had an opportunity to go and try to help meet those needs and to bless her, to help her as we share the gospel. Of course, salvation is the greatest need, but it doesn't erase all the other needs that we have. I know this is basic, but just don't miss it. In order to live the Christian life, we need to live. Right? We need to have daily needs met. That's what we're praying for in the fourth petition of the Lord's Prayer, physical bread. But now, what does all that entail? What is the scope of this bread? Well, I'll tell you now, Jesus does not simply have in view physical bread. The bread that Jesus is referring to is not just loaves. It's not just food in general. It's all of life's needs. I'm not a Lutheran, but I really love Martin Luther. I have a Martin Luther bobblehead on my shelf in my office. If you want to come play with that later, you can. I love his catechisms in the way that he is so down to earth. When he describes things, it's almost like you're sitting with him at the table looking out on the German landscape of the day. He gets so concrete and specific. A lot of that is reflective of the people that he was ministering to. He brought the gospel down to our level that we needed. Just listen to how he explains the fourth petition. This is kind of a mix of his larger and shorter catechism. When you mention and pray for daily bread, you pray for everything that is necessary in order to have and enjoy daily bread. And on the other hand, against everything which interferes with it. Therefore, you must open wide and extend your thoughts. Here's what he's saying. When you pray this prayer, don't just say, you know, give us this day our daily bread and then skip on. He's saying, stop there and expand your mind and think about what all that entails. Open wide and extend your thoughts not only to the oven or the flour bin, but to the distant field and the entire land, which bears and brings to us daily bread and every sort of sustenance. For if God did not cause it to grow and bless and preserve it in the field, we can never take the bread from the oven and have anything to set on the table. To comprise it briefly, this petition includes everything that belongs to our entire life in the world. And then in the shorter catechism, he adds everything that has to do with the support and needs of the body, such as food, drink, clothing, shoes, house, home, land, animals, money, goods, a devout husband or wife, devout children, devout workers, devout and faithful rulers, good government, good weather, peace, health, self-control, good reputation, good friends, faithful neighbors, and the like. Have you ever thought about praying for good weather when you pray, "Give us this day our daily bread"? If you're in the Walmart parking lot with six kids and you couldn't find a spot close up, you pray for good weather. I often pray for a close spot. That's okay. It's part of, I think, what Jesus is getting at here. Have you ever thought about praying for friendships? Maybe for yourself? Maybe for your children when you pray for your daily bread? Do you ever think to pray about, you know, health needs for yourself and others when you pray for your daily bread? Have you ever thought about praying for a good night's sleep when you pray, "Give us this day our daily bread"? Or have you ever thought about praying for our government officials or our nation's economy when we pray, "Give us this day our daily bread"? Have you ever thought about praying for animals? Interesting. He's probably thinking about work animals, but we can maybe expand that to pets, couldn't we? Pets are not people. I get that. But somebody's got to pay the vet bill when they get sick, right? And you know, God gave us the creation to care for it and to love it. There's nothing. There's a great poem by John Piper called "The Innkeeper," and he's kind of meditating on the innkeeper that they that Jesus' parents brought him to in the early stories in the Gospels. So he's just kind of meditating on what it would be like. There's this great line that says, "You know, there's nothing in the Decalogue about loving a dog." He's got a dog there in the picture. Yeah, that's true. I love my dog, Chewbacca. He's great. He's irritating to no end sometimes, but I still want him to be provided for. Right? I did a lot of praying for my dog when he was eating socks a few months ago. You know, it's okay to pray for that. That's, I think, part of things that we can pray about when we pray, "Give us this day our daily bread," whatever physical need we have. However far out the Lord prompts you to take that, providing for our physical needs, and not just for us, but for others. And not just for other people, I think for God's creation. Pray for the fields that we get to drive through in Holmes County, that they would be productive, that they would provide for the local economy and provide for families. Those aren't just neat things to look at. Now, that's somebody's livelihood. I think that's all in view here when we pray for those things. And notice that Jesus says to pray for them daily. Our favorite fast food restaurant as a family is Fazoli's. Have you ever been to Fazoli's? It's an Italian fast food restaurant. There's one up in Canton. We used to have one pretty close to the house in Grand Rapids. The breadsticks at the fast food Fazoli's, I think, is better than the Olive Garden or anywhere else. We love the breadsticks. So when we go to Fazoli's, we stock up on the breadsticks. And I always have some to take home. We took home a ton of them the other night when we drove past a Fazoli's. But you got to be careful with the Fazoli's breadsticks, right? Because they don't last very long. And not just because we've got six kids, right? That's one of the reasons they don't last long. But if you keep them, they get stale really fast. You've got about a 24-hour window. You've got to eat those things or else they're, you know, hard as a rock. They don't have the preservatives that the loaves of bread have if you go to the shelf at the grocery store, right? That'll keep much longer. The bread you take home from the restaurants just doesn't. And so it was in Jesus' day, right? They didn't have preservatives. You didn't go to the local Walmart or John Eagle in Jesus' day and load up on get three loaves of bread, and you can keep that for a couple weeks. Right? You had to make enough bread for one day, otherwise it went stale and you had to throw it out. It was literally daily bread. And that has nothing to do with Jesus is teaching us about praying daily for these things. When Jesus teaches us to pray daily, he is not thinking at all about the absence of preservatives in the bread. That is not the point. This is not a practical thing. Well, it's going to go stale if you don't pray for it today. Jesus teaches us to pray daily for our bread in order to teach us one central thing, namely our total dependence upon God's provision for everything that we need. It can be hard for us in America to feel the relevance of this petition, right? It's easy, I think, when we think about forgive us our debts on a daily basis. I mean, I sin every day. I get that. But in America, you know, the poorest in our country are rich compared to the poorest in much of the rest of the world. And for most of us, we've got food in the pantry. We've got it in the pantry. We've got it in the fridge. We've got it in the freezer. It seems like our daily needs are pretty much met. So why? Maybe we could pray for our monthly. But daily, it just doesn't seem relevant to us until we remember the scope of the bread. We enjoy the food in the pantry, but who protects the pantry? Right? Who keeps the house safe? Who prevents the fire from the outlet that burns the house down, that eradicates all of the food in the pantry? Or the storm that might come and blow the house down? Who provides for that? Now, we enjoy cars to drive to and from work, but who keeps us safe on the drive? And just think about this for a second. How meticulous is God's providence and provision for us? He's not just providing for your awareness behind the wheel, but everyone else. And not just everyone else, but everything else. Right? Think of all the things that could go wrong just on your drive to work that God is meticulously orchestrating to keep you safe. We enjoy jobs. But who gives true job security? Right? Who provides for the need for our position at the company? Who provides the stability of the company in order to be able to afford to hire us to work there? Who blesses the economy in our country that allows for successful companies that we might work for? Who gives us the health and the wherewithal that we need in order to be able to go into work? Who keeps the car running to get us to work that morning? You see? We enjoy health care coverage. But health care coverage doesn't prevent cancer or strokes or accidents that can disable us. If we don't face those things in our own lives, it's not because we've got a good health care plan. Think about it. Who keeps us healthy? Who provides for those needs? We could go on and on. We can list all those things that Luther mentions. All those things implied by bread. And that's true regardless of how much you have. Your pantry may be full, but your ability to go and enjoy it and for it to be useful and a blessing to you all depends upon God. Even the rich need to pray, "Give us this day our daily bread." Calvin's Geneva Catechism makes this point. It's just a great... You know, I told you earlier when we were praying through these catechisms and so forth, there's such wonderful insights. Calvin's reading this and he's thinking, well, this very subject, what about the rich? They don't tend to think about these things. Do they still need to pray, "Give us this day our daily bread"? Here's his answer. The rich, equally with the poor, should remember that none of the things which they have will do them good unless God grants the ability to use them, and by His grace makes the use of them fruitful and effective. Therefore, while possessing all things, we have nothing except insofar as we every hour receive from the hand of God what is necessary and sufficient for us. It doesn't matter how full your pantry is, how much gas is in your car, how good your job is, how good your health is. You only enjoy that by the sheer grace of God's hand blessing you with those things. Even the richest are still dependent upon God for every breath that they take, for success in every endeavor they undertake. And Jesus is telling us that we need to acknowledge that and to pray for God's gracious hand to bless all of our physical needs every day. Because not one day, as Calvin says, not one hour goes by that we are not totally and utterly dependent upon Him for life, for breath, and for everything. Praying for all of our needs on a daily basis reminds us of our dependence upon our Father who provides for us, of our need to be content with what He gives us. And it reminds us to keep trusting Him, not ourselves, not our jobs, not our health, not our bank account, nothing but Him for anything and everything that we need. Nobody knew this any better than George Mueller. George Mueller was a 19th century Christian evangelist. He was the director of multiple orphanages. And he was a man keenly aware of his complete and utter dependence upon God, not just for his physical well-being, but for his physical well-being. One of the most well-known and well-documented accounts of God's provision in Mueller's life was one morning when all of the children in his orphanage, about 300 or so, sat down for breakfast. Only there wasn't any food left in the house. Nevertheless, Mueller has them come out and sit down at table and prepare for breakfast. And not only that, he had them pray for their daily bread and to thank God for the meal that God was about to provide for them. Can you imagine that? 300 or so kids thanking God for the meal that God's about to provide with the pantries empty. And no sooner than they finish praying, a knock comes on the door. It's a baker in the community had a large donation that he was bringing by, just happened to be bringing it by that morning. And no sooner did they bring the bread in for the children that they see a milkman whose milk cart broke down right in front of the orphanage. And the repairs are going to take too long to get it going. The milk's going to spoil it. Could you guys use this? I know that's a lot of milk. You probably have plenty of stock, but could you use these 10 or so gallons or cans of milk? Lord, give us this day our daily bread. There comes the knock on the door, and there comes the bread. In this case, literally. And the provision. Isn't that amazing? You ever prayed like that? We hear stories like that, and we think, wow, you know. Mueller must have been the super Christian. Stuff like that never happens to me. Maybe you're thinking that as you hear this story. I certainly think that. But, you know, he was not a super Christian. He was a sinner just like you and me. He was just a Christian who prayed like Jesus taught him to pray. He prayed daily and specifically for his physical needs. For him, for the people that he was caring for. Our daily bread, 300 or so orphans. And frankly, maybe the reason that stuff like that never happens to us is we never pray like that. You know, if you pray general prayers, you're going to get general answers. And I'm talking to myself here. I need to take more from Mueller as well. If we pray specifically for the countless needs we have on a daily basis, I think you'll be surprised how specifically God answers those prayers every day. You get in your car tomorrow to drive to work. Lord, I need your provision to get safely to work. You're on the road. And suddenly He makes you aware of how close a call is the accident that you don't have. And then, boom, there's confidence that God hears you and is loving and providing for you. You see those things immediately, and you get encouraged to pray more. You don't have to be a super Christian to pray like that. This is just a daily prayer. And it's not because of how hard we pray, and it's not because of how spiritual we happen to be on the day that we pray those prayers, but because of all that Jesus has done for us in the gospel. To provide not only for the grace that saves us from our sins, but the free and unmerited grace that meets all of our daily needs. So, keep the gospel of grace in view when you pray. And then pray. Ask God, your Heavenly Father, for your daily bread, for yourself and for others, and expect Him to provide. Let's pray. Father, if we begin listing all of the needs we have just from a purely physical standpoint, we could go on and on and on. Open our eyes to see how helpless and dependent we are on you for everything. Expand our mind this week as we pray this prayer to bring in all of the things that we stand in need of, not only for ourselves, but for others. And Father, meet those needs so that you are shown to be the one powerful and able and willing to